All right. Talk about the internet. Why writers need to get online. How writers can get online. What your identity in the online world is. And whether or not an American identity exists or is even relevant to the discussion. So the first question we need to be asking ourselves is, why is the internet important? And I think the best answer is that virtually all content on the internet is text. If we take a look at some of the most visited websites on the internet, it becomes obvious that they are writing. A couple of quick examples we have here, Wikipedia, Craigslist, the news like BBC or the New York Times Online, and we've got the most popular online blogs from the inane like Gawker to the more political like, say, Daily Coast. And these websites are all about writing. Even the social networking sites like Facebook are founded on text-based communication methods. So the internet is starving for good writers right now. The internet audience is one full of literate readers interested in intelligent discourse. Online literary journals are still in their infancy, and this is an area writers really need to start exploring to share their work and create communities around their work. Why print 50 copies of your chapbook to hand out to your friends when you can reach thousands on the internet with a click of a button? So this panel is about American identity, interior, exterior, and the periphery. Let's start by discussing the exterior and the interior of the internet. The exterior of the internet is what we do every day. Check email, read the news, waste time on Wikipedia. The external side of the internet is incredibly useful, but isn't really worth talking about. What's important is what we can do inside the internet. In order to interact with the internet, what we need to start doing is creating content. We're all writers, which is a start, but how do we get our work online? The most obvious answer is start a blog. Running a weblog is as easy as using Microsoft Word, and there are literally thousands of sites where you can start a blog for free, and those are a few. Another approach is to start your own website. While slightly more complicated than a blog, running your own website is something you can learn how to do in a very short amount of time. Domain names, something like, boardwriters.com, cost less than $10 a year. Hosting, which is to say, paying for the servers that house and distribute your website, will probably run you no more than a few dollars a month and can cost as little as a quarter. So we're talking about $50 a year to publish something that would cost thousands in the real world. As you heard in the intro, I've been making websites since I was a teenager. But in 2008, you don't have to know anything at all if you want to start a website. A few weeks ago, fellow summer writing program student Nate Jordan and I were talking about putting his magazine, Monkey Puzzle, online. We sat down on a Sunday afternoon after the first week of the program, and 4 hours later, Nate had a website. While I know that Nate is impressed with the site, all I did was install the WordPress blogging software, tweak the colors of the basic theme, and help him set up a Google Checkout account, and then show him how to use the software. This didn't take any wizardry. It barely took me more than a few clicks and a little tweaking. And now you can buy his magazine online. You can buy a subscription to the magazine, or even buy a t-shirt. And in the 2 weeks that the site has been online, Nate has already made a few sales. So websites aren't just about content, they're also about empowerment. Nate went from having a magazine to running an internet publishing platform in a number of hours. I've made websites for artists, like my good friend Aaron Edelson, which only took us about 2 days. Aaron now shares his work with people worldwide, and showing people his artwork is now as simple as handing them a business card with his website address on it. Let's get back to the panel topic for a second. What constitutes an American identity in a virtual world? Nothing. Because the internet is largely anonymous, and websites can be produced and hosted anywhere, there is nothing that distinguishes you as an American online. You can be anyone you want, which is either freeing or terrifying, depending on who you are. But you do have an identity online, and you define your identity by what you decide to put on the internet, be it poems, essays, or badly photoshopped pictures that make George W. Bush look like a monkey. Even if you have no interest in putting your work online, there's plenty more to consider. Ann Waldman mentioned earlier in the program how, after Googling tax evasion techniques, the IRS audited her. How did this happen? More than likely, Ann was audited because nearly all American internet traffic is filtered through a room in an AT&T building in San Francisco that is monitored by the National Security Agency. No shit. Google emails, and most other internet traffic all flow through the tubes in plain text. What this means is that anyone who intercepts your traffic, which can be someone using the same wireless network as you, or in this case, the government, knows exactly what you're doing online. You can probably see how there's a call here for activism. There are essentially two types of activism occurring in this arena, action in the real world and software solutions online. I'm going to briefly discuss the latter. The Tor project produces software that allows you to browse the internet anonymously. Tor is free software, which means that it is both free to download, and anyone who wishes to look at the source code or make changes to the program is free to do so. Tor works by encrypting and distributing your internet traffic in such a way that it is untraceable. This means that Anne can search Google without fear. This also helps political dissidents, like current bloggers in China, who face imprisonment and censorship for their writings. Anonymity guarantees a platform for free speech. My last point is something you've probably heard about before, net neutrality. This whole talk means nothing unless we can ensure net neutrality, which means keeping the internet a free and open space for discussion and content. Large corporations, the monopolies like Verizon and Comcast, who own the physical fiber optic cables of the internet and supply it to homes, are currently waging a war to turn the internet into a watered-down medium. Instead of being able to access the whole internet for a flat fee as we do today, internet service providers would create a tiered internet. Looking up at the slide, you can see how you'll theoretically be charged increasing amounts of money in order to access content outside of corporate America. If you want to visit independent websites like, say, monkeypuzzleonline.com, you could be paying hundreds of dollars a month for the privilege. This is something you need to get involved in before it's too late. And for those of you who missed anything, this whole presentation will be online at my personal website, shymukherjee.com/swp. Yeah. And thank you.